Welcome to WTBU News Today. I'm Mia McCarthy. Boston has been cool and rainy lately. Temperatures Thursday are expected to reach a high of 73 degrees, with the rest of the week looking cloudy with some more rain. Now we'll move into the Boston University COVID-19 dashboard update. On October 13th, four members of the Boston University community tested positive for COVID-19. None of them were students and all four were employees. For the week of October 7th to October 13th, 0.02% of tested students were deemed positive for the coronavirus, with 0.0% of tested faculty and 0.15% of tested staff also receiving positive test results. On average, BU's lab took 21.7 hours to process each test. Today's numbers are slightly higher than the past week, however, not by a significant amount, and overall, BU's positive test rate has remained steady. In total, 150 members of the BU community have tested positive this fall. 7 students are currently in isolation, and 101 students have recovered from the disease. Joining us now is Grace Ramey with an update from Barrett's Haunted Mansion.
Due to social distancing guidelines that remain in place to protect against the spread of COVID-19, the famed Barrett's Haunted Mansion in Abington is unable to open their haunted house for the Halloween season. In an effort to adapt to the circumstances, mansion owner Mary Barrett Costello switched to Screens and Screams, hosting drive-in movies in the parking lot with a limit of 84 cars. Showing classic scary movies that are crowd favorites, every night at the theater has sold out thus far, and Costello attributes her success to people's desire for diversion and a sentimental need to maintain traditions in trying times. With socially distanced cars, about a dozen haunted house actors peruse among the vehicles, popping up on the other side of car windows and doing their best to give viewers an additional scare while staying within operating guidelines. Planning for the festivities usually begin in March for the Haunted Mansion, but this year when the pandemic hit at the same time, it quickly became clear that this year would not be the same, and planning looked very different from the get-go. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Grace Ramey for WTBU News.
And now, we'll head over to Hannah Barron for a story on a video from the Council for National Policy.
The Washington Post revealed acquired video footage on Wednesday of 3 days of Council for National Policy meetings. The CNP is a national network of conservatives, including the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and Trump advisor Leonard Leo. Its meetings are not open to the public, and attendees are instructed not to tell the media anything about them. In the video footage, many CNP members described feeling vulnerable and attacked, and emphasized the necessity to take up arms and do whatever it takes to battle the Democratic Party. Participants amplified conspiracy theories and discussed election battle strategies, including ballot harvesting, which Trump and other Democrats have denounced as fraudulent abuse by Democrats. The footage also revealed the CNP has a delegation called the Conservative Action Project that meets with White House officials weekly and has helped put loyalists in leadership positions of federal agencies. Members of the CNP discussed in great detail the behind-the-scenes work they've done to influence the White House, including with the Supreme Court Justice nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Law specialists who reviewed the videos pointed out that many of those in attendance were leaders of nonprofit organizations, including tax-exempt charities, who are legally prohibited from supporting and aiding political candidates. The Conservative Action Project has coordinated support from other nonprofits as well.
From Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Hannah Barron for WTBU News.
Next, a story regarding the upcoming Senate majority from Lainey Brassard.
Polls are now showing that the Democratic Party would need to win at least 5 of the 14 Senate races to retake a Senate majority. Greatly desiring to push forth an agenda focused on fighting climate change, expanding health insurance, and the raising of taxes on the wealthy, Democratic candidate Joe Biden faces the possibility of a majority Republican Senate outcome, which would make the task of passing legislation more challenging. In Michigan, Colorado, Arizona, Iowa, Maine, and North Carolina, the Democratic Party currently leads in major Senate races. If 2 of the 6 leading races in those states were to begin trailing behind, Democrats would need to win a state where there is not a pre-existing lead. In South Carolina, Democratic candidate Jamie Harrison trails slightly behind Republican challenger Lindsey Graham. In Alaska and Kansas, the polls have shown a tight and close enough margin, which could possibly provide the needed upset in the popular vote for Democrats. According to the New York Times, the same is true in Montana, where Democratic Governor Steve Bullock is running against Republican incumbent Steve Daines. In addition, the sizable Republican leads in Georgia, Texas, and Alabama pose a threat to obtaining Democratic Senate majority. Even though Biden is leading nationally by 10 percentage points in the polls, the impacts of the potential turnout of Senate races for the Democratic Party still lie in the balance.
Finally, an update from Victoria Popovska about a trial in the Vatican.
Two Catholic priests are facing trial in the Vatican's criminal tribunal over sexual abuse charges. The trial was confirmed Monday and held brief opening statements on Wednesday, the first recorded time that the Vatican will criminally prosecute an internal sexual abuse case. The priests on trial are 28-year-old Gabriele Martinelli and 72-year-old Enrico Radice. Martinelli is accused of repeatedly abusing an altar boy between 2007 and 2012, where he was 17 at the initial alleged assault and the victim was 16. Radice is accused of covering up the alleged assault. An 8-minute hearing was held on Wednesday when the charges against both priests were read and neither spoke. The trial has been adjourned for 2 weeks.
In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Victoria Popovska for WTBU News.
That's it for this edition of WTBU News Today. Be sure to tune into our full program every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern over on WTBU Radio. On behalf of Gabriela Lopez, Megan Gregoire, Alex Corey, and Stella Lawrence, I'm Mia McCarthy reporting from Boston, Massachusetts for WTBU News.